You know, it also just so happens that this week I attended Mayor Collins' funeral mass at, oh gosh, I don't remember the whole name of the church, Holy Rosary of the Queen Mother, something like that, but Queen Mary. You know, again, was thinking about how important it is to be asking the questions that we're asking in this legacy series that ends today. But hopefully, you know, I've talked to some of you in the last few weeks and who are really thinking about these things and are really asking this question of what do I want my legacy to be? And I really do hope that continues on and actually affects how you live, because that's the whole point of it all. And this morning, that's really what we want to do. And so I hope that even with a small group here, and I really hope that if people aren't here, that they'll take a chance to listen to the sermon online, because, you know, we've been talking a lot about the end of our lives. You know, legacy is inherently about that. Like, what do you leave behind at the end? And last week, and maybe you took time during the week to think about your eulogy, your ideal eulogy. What do you hope? I mean, this question, you know, what do I hope people say about me? Are they just going to say, you know, well-read, well-bred, well-to-do, well-traveled, all, you know, these type of things? Or is it going to go beyond that to that you left something of God, that you pointed, I'm just going to go back to the lyrics again, but did I point to you, God, enough to make a mark on things, a child of mercy and grace who blessed your name, to leave that kind of legacy, is the opportunity that we have as children of God. And so we started off the series way back in January when it was cold. Oh, wait. We started the series a few weeks ago, and we talked about, you know, what is our legacy? And we said that on one hand, there's a legacy that all of us are called to live as human beings, and then more specifically as followers of Christ, that it's really very simple at the heart of it. All of us are called to love God, love our neighbor, and make disciples. But within that, that's the song that all of us are singing together as God's people, but within that, there's lots of different parts to that song. That we have to kind of discover and discern what are the gifts God has given us, what are the experiences that we have, what are our passions and skills that God has developed in us and that have developed throughout our stories that is going to be our part in that song of loving God, loving our neighbor, and making disciples. And then we've also talked about to whom we leave the legacy. How do we connect with people in a way that we are, you know, there's actually, you know, it's one thing to pour out water. It's another thing to have a cup to pour it in, right? Because we need that. We need someone that we're pouring into that can carry on the legacy that we're leaving for Christ. And then last week, again, we got a little more specific about this whole eulogy thing. What do I hope people say about me when I'm gone? And I don't know if you did try it. I did at least begin the eulogy thing. It's hard. It's a really hard thing to do, to sit down and say, what do I want my life to have been about? And I found actually myself starting with my Barnabas. And I would encourage you, maybe that's a good place to start. Who is your Barnabas? Who is the person who really impacted and shaped your idea of what you wanted your life to be about? That might be a good place for you to start if you still want to do that. But today, we're going to do the really important thing of going from kind of the theoretical end of our lives and back to right now, back to this beginning or this new beginning, so that we can say, you know, I want to live for that, but here's how I'm going to do it. Day in and day out, this is how I want to live my life. I don't know if you've done a maze. Maybe you haven't done a maze in a while. When I was a kid, I would do mazes. And all of us know, I think, the secret to doing a maze is what? What's the secret to doing a maze? Exactly. Begin at the end. If you begin at the end and are really clear on where you're going, it opens up the path. And so, but then you can go back to the beginning and say, okay, now I've seen how to go through this, and you can do that. And so that's what we're going to do today, is come back from the end of the maze where we want to go to the beginning right now and say, okay, now that I've surveyed the path, now I can walk walk on it. And what we're going to do today is begin to craft a personal mission statement. Okay, because if we want to leave a lasting legacy, we have to be crystal clear on what we're about. To leave a lasting legacy, we have to be crystal clear on what we're about. And I think there are two stories from Jesus' life that show us that if we want to truly be like Jesus and follow him, that we need to have that clarity. Because Jesus did. Jesus was exceptionally clear on what he was about, and it shaped how he lived. And we read one of those stories from Mark 1, 35 through 39. I'm going to read to you the rest of Luke 19 that led up to that one verse that was read. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it, and a man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and I have if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay him back four times as much." Then Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." And there's something very similar about both the stories in Mark and Luke. All three of them. Both stories begin with a period of preparation. In Mark, we're told at the very beginning of that passage that Jesus had spent the night on a mountain in prayer. Okay? Very significant. Luke, of all the Gospels, actually, Luke is the one who emphasized Jesus' prayer life more than any other Gospel. So we know that Jesus had this constant connection with God, had this constant process of discernment about, again, what his life was going to be about, what his day was going to be about, which disciples he should call. Jesus prays about everything. Okay, so that's the first part of each of these stories, is that Jesus was in preparation on his own. The second part of each of these stories is that there are certain expectations and pressures on Jesus. Do any of you have expectations and pressures on you day in and day out? Okay, so in the first story, Jesus had spent the previous day healing a bunch of people, and so what, of course, happens the next day? There's a bunch of people who want to be healed, and they're coming to Jesus, and actually the disciples come to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, look, there's this whole line out here of people who want to be healed. Come on. Let's do it. Keep the people coming. We're providing this product that people are buying, so let's keep selling. Demand is high." And in the Luke story, the expectations and pressures are different. That the expectations of Jesus are that he would shun someone like Zacchaeus, like most people did. This tax collector who extorted money from his own people to pay Rome and himself. The text notes that he's rich. Tax collectors only get rich because they take money above and beyond what the Roman government wanted. Okay, so, and the expectation is that Jesus would shun or at least rebuke this sinner. Okay, each story has expectations and pressures. And then in each story, Jesus takes action, and the action defies those expectations and pressures. In Mark, he says, "No, I'm not going back and healing everyone. That's not why I was sent." We'll get to that in a second. So he doesn't go back to heal everyone who's in line for him. And in Luke, he goes into Zacchaeus' home and has dinner with him, invites himself over. And then there's the explanation. And this is where Jesus shows just how crystal clear he is on what his legacy is going to be, what his purpose is. In Mark, he says, "We're going to go and preach the good news in the other towns of Galilee, for that is why I have come." That's why I have come. I didn't come to heal every disease in this world. I came to bring a message about God and God's love. And in some places, healing people, and sometimes healing people is a way of communicating that message, but here, Jesus has spent the night in prayer, and he's clear on what his next step is to fulfill that mission statement. And in Luke, he says, he knows, Jesus knows the grumblings going on. He says, "For I have come to seek and to save the lost." That's a mission statement. And so whatever the expectations and pressures were on him, he doesn't need to listen to those, because he knows what he's about, to seek and save the lost. So he's going to go to the house of someone who's lost. Jesus is crystal clear. Now, Jesus knowing what he's about does not mean that he's this like robot, this assembly line specialist that, you know, people come by and he stamps, or, you know, puts this part on. That's not how Jesus lives. It's not that he just does one thing. But to have this clear mission statement, to seek and save the lost, to proclaim the good news, you know, these allow him to be flexible, but to be flexible with a purpose. Not just to be tossed around by the waves, as Paul says, but to say, okay, this is what I'm about, this is what I'm doing, and this is what that looks like in this particular situation. Sometimes that leads him to heal people. Sometimes that leads him to teach. Sometimes that leads him to stay in a place. Sometimes that leads him to move on. But all of it runs through his mission. All of it runs through his clear sense of who he is and what he's about. And so that's why today we're going to start to work on our own personal mission statements. Because each one of our legacies is built one day at a time. Some of us, I was thinking about this week, some of us might leave a legacy that just happens, you know, over a period of our whole lives. You know, some of us, people at our funeral might say, you know, they just day in and day out, they loved people, and it was that consistency, it was that faithfulness. Some of us leave legacies that are more momentary. Like what people really remember is something that happened in a given moment and how we responded, how we acted. But either way, those things are built day in and day out. Because even those momentary legacies, you know, some of us at like a defining moment in our lives, how do you respond in a way that leaves a godly legacy? Well, because you have built your character day in and day out. So when that defining moment comes, you respond the way God desires you to respond. Okay, so either way, legacies are built one day at a time. And one decision at a time, because every single day, we're faced with many decisions. I'm faced with what I'm going to say yes to, what I'm going to say no to, where I should put my energy, how I will respond when there's a plot twist. You know, how many of you have days that go exactly, you know, you wake up in the morning, you say, okay, my day is going to go like this, and then it goes like that. How often does that happen? Not often, for me, anyway. You know, right? Like, that happens. So how am I going to respond when something goes a way other than I expected it to? And with whom will I spend my time? That's really the question that Jesus is facing on these two given stories. With whom am I going to spend my time? And when we face each of these decisions, we need to be able to run those decisions through our mission statement. And if it's not a mission statement, you may be uncomfortable with that phrase, but we need to run it through our clear sense of what our lives are going to be about, what we want our legacy to be. Okay, so it's not about the words today. As we craft a personal mission statement, it's not about the words. Because we could write our mission statement and then tomorrow throw it away and you know, never do anything with it. But what it is about is having that crystal clear sense of what our life is about. And I think a mission statement helps us to put that in front of us, to put that in front of our face each day. When I was in college, that was when I was still first starting to really come into my faith, and I decided I would read a gospel, and I read the Gospel of Matthew, and what stuck out to me, and I remember very vividly each day as I would read a chapter or what have you, what stuck out to me was how proactive Jesus was. Most of us are not proactive. Most of us are reactive. we kind of coast along until something happens to kind of stir the waters, and then we react to it. Jesus was extremely proactive. He didn't just respond to every voice and every question and every, you know. Jesus began each day knowing what he was about. And again, it doesn't mean, you know, when a lady touched his robe and was healed, he stops. And he speaks to her. It's not that he can't be interrupted, but when he's interrupted, it fits his mission. He knows which interruptions to engage and which not to. That makes sense. He's proactive each day. Lastly, since this is kind of the last week of the Legacy series, I just want to clarify why we're doing this series. One, because I hope you see the value for each individual of thinking about our legacy and living on purpose and having a mission statement. But I hope for, as a church, that we can each have a better clarity when we have conversations about how do we move forward as a church, how do we move forward as a community, that we can have more clarity and be able to run each of the decisions we make, each of the things we do together as a church through that. Well, we have a vision statement, which helps us, but to each be kind of on the same page about what each one of us are doing here in the church and in life as a whole. I think part of what it means to be drawn into the community of Christ is that we have our mission statements revised in light of who Christ is and who God has called us to be. So we, I hope, as we work through this light, we're going to keep coming back to this idea of legacy as we move forward. What the questions we're going to ask are, what do we want our church's legacy to be? And then how do we act in response to that? Not what are we afraid of? We can talk about what we're afraid of. But we don't want our legacy to be a legacy of fear. We don't want our legacy to be a legacy of selfishness. We don't want our legacy to be a legacy of a whole host of other things. We want our legacy to be shaped by being people who love God and love our neighbor and made disciples and did whatever we could, whatever God was calling us to do that. Okay, so we're going to take a few minutes now and begin to kind of craft that mission statement. And you might not get the sentence exactly how you want it, but it should be one sentence, really. And it can begin with two, like my mission is to, and begin again with the gospel. God's general call to all of us. Take into account your eulogy or the bullet points that you came up with for the basics of what you want someone to say about you. Take into account your story, but don't let yourself be defined by your past. Your story can influence you, but it doesn't determine what your future is and what your legacy will be. And then eventually we'll ask, you can ask, to whom should I leave this legacy? So Jesus had the to whom in there. He said, I came to seek and save the lost. Okay, so as you're thinking about your mission statement, who is going to be your focus? Who is God calling you to leave this legacy to? All right, so we're just going to take a few minutes to do that. And eventually, we're going to have a song of reflection, and you're welcome to listen to that song and pay attention to the lyrics, or if you want to keep working on your mission statement, if God is inspiring you in some way, you know, write that, keep going, just keep going on it. You know, go where the Spirit leads you. And then we'll come together as we move towards the close of our worship time.